In this verse, Maitreya replied to Vidura that Dhruva Maharaj, influenced by a revengeful attitude towards his insulting stepmother, did not think of mukti, or didn't know what mukti was, therefore he failed to aim for mukti as his goal in life. But if your devotee also does not want liberation, he is also completely surrendered to the Supreme Lord, and he does not demand anything from the Lord. This position was realized by Dhruva Maharaj when he saw the Supreme Personality of Godhead present personally before him, because he was elevated to the Vasudeva platform. The Vasudeva platform refers to the stage at which material contaminations can speak to us by absence only. Or in other words, where there is no question of material modes of nature, with inspiration and ignorance, and one can therefore see the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because on the Vasudeva platform one can see God face to face, the Lord is also called Vasudeva. Dhruva Maharaj's demand was for a position so exalted that it was never enjoyed even by Lord Brahma, his great grandfather. Krishna, the Supreme Personality of God, is so affectionate and kind towards his devotee, especially to a devotee like Dhruva Maharaj, who went to render devotional service in the forest alone at the age of only 5 years, that although the motive might be impure, the Lord does not consider the motive. He is concerned with the service. But if a devotee has a particular motive, the Lord directly or indirectly knows it, and therefore he does not leave the devotee's material desires unfulfilled. These are some of the special favors by the Lord to the devotee. Dhruva Maharaj was offered Dhruva Loka, a planet that was never resided upon by any conditioned soul. Even Brahma, although the topmost living creature within this universe, was not allowed to enter the Dhruva Loka. Whenever there is a crisis within this universe, demigods go to see the Supreme Personality of God and Shri Dakshaya Vishnu, and they stand on the beach of the Milk Ocean. So the fulfillment of Dhruva Maharaj's demand, a position more exalted than that of his great-grandfather Brahma, was offered to him. Here in this verse, the Lord is described as Mukti-pati, which means one under whose lotus feet there are all kinds of mukti. There are five kinds of muktis, Sayujasra, Kusalokis, Nukti, and Sarshti. Out of these five muktis, which can be achieved by any person engaged in devotional service to the Lord, one which is known as Sayujas, generally demanded by Mayavadi philosophers, they demand to become one of the impersonal and unconscious of the Lord. In the opinion of many scholars, this Sayuja mukti, although counted among the five kinds of mukti, is not actually mukti, because from Sayuja mukti one may again fall down to this material world. This information we have from Srimad Bhagavatam, where he said, Padantyada, which means dig and fall down. The monistic philosopher, after executing severe austerity, merged into the impersonal qualities of the Lord. The living entity always wants reciprocation and loving affairs. Therefore, although the monist philosopher is elevated to the status of being one of the qualities of the Lord, because there's no facility for associating with the Lord and rendering service to him, he again falls into this material world, and the service principle is satisfied with materialistic welfare activities like humanitarianism, altruism, and philanthropy. There are many instances of such fall downs, even for great sannyasins in the Mahayana school. Therefore, Vaishnava philosophers do not accept Sayuja Mukti to be within the category of Mukti, according to them. Mukti means transfer to the loving service of the Lord from one's position in serving Maya. Lord Chaitanya also says in this connection the constitutional position of the living entities to render service to the Lord. That is real mukti. When one is situated in his original position, giving up artificial positions, he is called mukti or liberated. In the Bhagavad Gita, this is confirmed. Anyone who engages in rendering transcendental loving service to the Lord is considered to be a mukti or brahmabhuta. It is said in Bhagavad Gita that a devotee is considered to be on the brahmabhuta platform when he has no material contamination. In the Padma Purana, this is also confirmed. Mukti means engagement in the service of the Lord. The great sage Maitreya explains that Dhruva Maharaj did not desire in the beginning to engage in the service of the Lord, but he wanted to result position better than his great-grandfather's. This is more or less not service to the Lord, but service of the senses. Even if one gets the position of Brahma, the most exalted position in this material world, he is a conditioned soul. Sri Prabodhananda Saraswati says that if one is elevated to real pure devotional service, he considers even great demigods like Brahma and to be on an equal level with an insignificant insect. The The reason is that an insect has a desire for such gratification, and even a great personality like Brahma also wants to dominate this material nature. Sense gratification is domination over material nature. The whole competition between conditioned souls is based upon domination in this material nature. Modern scientists are proud of their knowledge because they are discovering new methods to dominate the laws of material nature. They think that this is the advancement of human civilization. The more they can dominate the material laws, the more advanced they think they are. Dhruva Maharaj's propensity in the beginning was like that. He wanted to dominate this material world in a greater position than one in Brahma. Therefore, elsewhere it is described that after the appearance of the Lord, Dhruva Maharaj thought and compared his determination to his final reward. He realized he wanted a few particles of broken glass instead of having received many diamonds. As soon as he saw the Supreme Personality of God face to face, he immediately became conscious of the unimportance of his demand on the Lord to have an exalted position better than Lord Brahma's. When Dhruva Maharaj became situated on the Vasudeva platform due to seeing the Lord face to face, all his material contamination was cleared. Thus he became ashamed of what his demands were and what he had achieved. He was very much ashamed to think that although he had gone to Madhavan, given up the kingdom of his father, and he had gotten spiritual master like Narad Muni, he was still thinking of revenge against his stepmother and wanted to occupy an exalted post within this material world. These were the causes for his morosis, even after he received all the desire to enter the attention of the Lord. When Dhruva Maharaj actually saw the Supreme Personality of Godhead, there was no question of a revengeful attitude towards his stepmother, nor any aspiration toward the material world, but the Supreme Personality was so kind that he knew that Dhruva Maharaj wanted these. Speaking before Dhruva Maharaj, he used the word Vedaham, because when Dhruva Maharaj demanded material benefits, the Lord was present within his heart and so knew everything. The Lord always knows everything a man is thinking. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita also, Vedaham, Samadhi. The Lord fulfilled all Dhruva Maharaj's desires. His revengeful attitude towards his stepmother and stepbrother was satisfied. The desire for a more exalted position than that of his grandfather was also fulfilled. At the same time, his eternal position in Dhruva Loka was fixed. Although Dhruva Maharaj's achievement as of an eternal planet was not conceived of by him, Krishna thought, what will Dhruva do with his exalted position in this material world? Therefore, he gave Dhruva the opportunity to rule this material world for 36,000 years with unchanging senses and the chance to perform many great sacrifices and thus become the most reputed king within this material world. And after finishing with all this material enjoyment, Dhruva was promoted to the spiritual world, which includes the Loka. Translation: Maitreya answered, Dhruva Maharaj's heart, which was pierced by the arrows of the harsh words of his stepmother, was greatly aggrieved. And thus, when he fixed upon his goal of life, he did not forget his misbehavior. He did not demand actual liberation from this material world, but at the end, this devotional service, when the Supreme Personality of God appeared before him, he was simply ashamed of the material demands he had in his mind. So, why was Dhruva dissatisfied, even though the Lord fulfilled all of his desires? So the answer is that Dhruva was dissatisfied because he had previously performed his bhakti with those material desires. So he was unhappy because of his foolishness in performing mixed bhakti rather than pure bhakti. And that he realized when he saw the Lord. So Dhruva understood the difference between pure devotion and mixed devotion. And he understood that pure devotion was much higher. Therefore he was feeling sad that he had actually done all of his practice with this mixed intention. So nevertheless, we see that he was very fortunate because he gave up those desires on seeing the Lord. But at the same time, in one sense he was unfortunate because the Lord still gave him those benedictions, having placed greater than his grandfather, etc., that he responded to his material desires and fulfilled those desires. But because the Lord is all merciful, that desire was also produced in such a way that it was not a hindrance for Dhruva. So therefore he got a great kingdom, but at the same time he also got the spiritual kingdom. Yeah, so he got a full start and he attained the Supreme Lord there. So in other words, the material desire was fulfilled, but at the same time it became something very spiritual. So in this way, the Lord very cleverly fulfilled that desire. Nevertheless, on the part of Dhruva, he realized that his initial bhakti was impure, and therefore he lamented. So he felt ashamed that he had approached the Lord with this desire for material benefits. In other words, he lamented his own impurity. So the Lord, of course, understood this, and still he responded very nicely to Dhruva. So the Lord accepts impure bhakti as well as pure bhakti. So if one approaches the Lord and one wants relief from distress or one wants material benefits, the Lord will respond to that. And he will help the devotee if the devotee actually is practicing bhakti. But he still has those desires. So the Lord is favorable towards those people. And therefore Krishna says, all of these people are my devotees. The Lord helps them all. And of course he can fulfill the material desires. And he can also help them develop their devotion. Now the Lord is favorable to these persons because they worship the Lord sincerely, even though they have material desires. Hopefully, they will progress beyond that and they will develop pure bhakti. That's the higher position. So we see ultimately Dhruva developed that when he saw the Lord. Other devotees may be fortunate to develop pure devotion from mixed devotion by association with other devotees. So that is the normal hope. For people that they start out with mixed devotion, and by association with those practicing pure bhakti, then they give up those desires and simply worship the Lord with no motivation. So if that is reached, then one is in a very good position in doing sadhana. This is what is recommended in the Nectar Devotion of Rupa Goswami. You practice pure bhakti, anya abhilashita sunya. This is not prem bhakti, this is only practice. So he recommends practice, and when we worship the Lord, we're not thinking that we want relief from distress or material benefits or liberation or mystic cities or anything. We're simply trying to please the Lord. We may be impure because we're doing sadhana, but nevertheless, when we're executing devotional service, we're not trying to take something from the Lord. So this is the type of bhakti which is recommended in the Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. This is what is most attractive to the Supreme Lord. Nevertheless, the Lord is also attracted to those that do have material desires. So, in the case of Dhruva, he wanted material benefit. The Lord was still attracted to him. Gajendra wanted relief from distress, and he recited his prayers. And the Lord was attracted to him. He saved him, and he showed his form to him. So, in both cases, those devotees had material desires, but they were also practicing bhakti sincerely. So, the Lord responded to them. So, if the Lord responds in this way to such devotees, he will respond to a greater degree to the devotees who have pure bhakti. And to those who have less bhakti, that is those karmis and gyanis who have a little bhakti, he will give less attention to them. something definitely, but much less. So therefore the Lord says, I am attracted to my devotee. I'm not attracted to Sankhya and Gyan and Yoga and other processes, but I am attracted to bhakti. So if there's a lot of bhakti, even if there's impurities, the Lord is attracted, as in the case of Kruva or Gajendra. And if it is pure bhakti, the Lord is even more attracted to that devotee. So ultimately, the Lord gives himself to that devotee who's developed pure bhakti to the highest level, that is prema. When pure devotion goes through sadhana and bhava and ends up in prema, then the Lord gives himself to the devotee. That's how attractive he is. So that is the one of the outstanding qualities of practicing pure bhakti. We get prema, which controls the Lord. So if one practices mixed bhakti, one does not control the Lord in the same way. One does not develop prema. One may get sayuja, arnasayuja, sarupya, salokya, sarsati, samipya, who won't develop that prema. One may have a shanta rasa or something, shanta rati relationship with the Lord, and not real prema. So, therefore, there's a difference. So, Dhruva was lamenting that he actually performed mixed bhaktis, but not so good compared to practicing pure bhakti with the goal of real prema. So he was lamenting for that purpose. But, of course, we see that Dhruva did give up those desires, so he was fortunate. Some may not, and they still want those things. So those are the persons that go to the spiritual world to get Salokya, Sarsati, etc. Now, a devotee may get these anyway. If it is favorable for the particular service, the Lord will get Salokya, Sarsati, Samipya, etc. That is so. But if there's no service to the Lord, the devotee rejects it. And if those things are not there in their service, the Lord still accepts it. So these are not conditions which the devotee demands. I want spiritual world, I want body like the Lord, etc. These are only incidental to his service. So his service is anyavilashanasam, devoid of other desires. Even the desire for same planet as the Lord, spiritual body, etc. He does not demand anything. But by doing that, by using that type of bhakti, practicing that bhakti, then he attains highest position. He gets closest to the Lord, he gets a spiritual body, he gets everything in association with the Lord. But most of all, he gets intimate service with the Lord. That is the main element. Yeah. So, as I said, even if you practice mixed bhakti, you can go to the spiritual world, but of course one becomes purified of one's material desires. But the influence of that type of bhakti makes it weak, and therefore the relationship with the Lord is weak. We don't have material desires at that stage. In the spiritual world we can. But we have a weak relationship with the Lord as a result of sadhana, in which the bhakti is not so strong. Yeah, he gave up those desires when he saw the Lord. So he developed pure bhakti at that point. Previously, it was mixed. Desire for material enjoyment. Then he gave that up when he saw the Lord. When he was lamenting that, why I should have started out like this. That's his main point. But he attained pure bhakti. In bhakti, there's nothing but mercy in the beginning, middle, and end. Kindly and light, how so, and not due to self-effort. Well, there's always effort involved, but an essential element is always the mercy of the Lord. Bhakti itself is the mercy of the Lord. does not arise by material endeavor. It does not arise from sattva-guna, rajaguna, or tamaguna. It is a spiritual potency of the Lord. It comes from the Lord. So its origin is not material. So you cannot produce it by material effort. You can produce it by sincerity and faith. A little faith will induce that bhakti, so that faith itself is also spiritual. If we have, well, of course, there's different goals one can get, depending on if one has very strong attachments to material things, the Lord will do that. Or if one mixes devotion with karma, one can go the gradual process of elevation, go to Sparga, and go to Mahaloka, and Janaloka, etc., then go to Brahmaloka, and then go to the spiritual world. The Lord will also arrange that for some types of devotees. That's called Krama Mukti, gradual liberation from the world. It depends on the situation. But if one does devotion, bhakti in any case, whether it's mixed or unmixed, definitely the bhakti continues and it can develop wherever the person is. Will the above understanding result in genuine humility in a person once, if there is mercy? Well, yeah, we have to depend on the Supreme Lord, not on ourselves. So if we think we do everything, then we are proud. So we have to get rid of that, and therefore Lord Chaitanya said one should be humble than a blade of grass. Lord Chaitanya was not sentimental when he asked all to chant Hare Krishna. He is the greatest intellect, kindly enlightened and above. What does that mean? Nam Sankirtan, strictly the name of Krishna, is the Yuga Dharma. So therefore it is scriptural to encourage everyone to practice the Yuga Dharma. So if Lord Chaitanya says everyone should chant, he's only encouraging people to follow the scriptural injunction. So in that sense, it's not sentimental. Of course, as Yuga Avatar, that is his job. But the other purpose of Lord Chaitanya is not that. In every Kali Yuga and the day of Brahma, there is a Yuga avatar telling people to Nam Sankirtan. So it's nothing original. So the original or the unique feature of Lord Chaitanya is to not only give the name, but through the name, to give understanding and realization of Krishna and Radha Krishna and all the pastimes of Krishna. So that is a speciality of Lord Chaitanya. Well, if we're not, if we practice bhakti and we're not absolutely pure, then we have to take a birth somewhere in the material world. If we have prema, then we go to the spiritual world. Or we go to a planet where Krishna is performing his pastimes. If we're not on the level of prema, then we take birth somewhere in the material world again. And according to Krishna's desire, we may be born in different places. So we could be born in heavenly planets, even hellish planets, doesn't matter. Because the devotee says, may let people born in heaven or hell, it doesn't matter as long as I can serve you. You may be born in human body or deva body or whatever. We see some get rakshasa body or demon body, ritrasura with demon. He became a demon, but he's actually a devotee. So we can have various bodies in the material world if we're not on the highest level of prema. And then through that, that particular body, then we develop further. Bharat became a deer for one lifetime. So, and then became a brahmana, a human form. So, one can go through many different forms as long as one does not have prema. Well, that's the only way you can get. If we have other desires, we desire money, or we desire wealth, or we desire enjoyment, we desire liberation, we don't get prema. Now we desire simply to serve the Lord, to please Him, out of love, with no other desires, then that is the means of developing prema. Well, it's not a desire to get prema, it's a desire to serve the Lord. Anukulina Krishna Anusila. Cultivating love for the Lord favorably to please Him. That's all. That the same definition applies to sadhana, bhava, and prema. In prema bhakti, they also are in love. It's also anukulya, Krishna Anusila. And in sadhana bhakti, it is also the same definition. Also, ultimately, from the soul, the soul is in ignorance. That's his desire is to enjoy separately from the Lord. That's his original desire. Secondarily, desires, individual desires, are due to impressions caused by countless lives in the material world. But the origin is ultimately soul. Well, the Lord may unexpectedly do many things, just like Prahlad was thinking of Vishnu, he wasn't expecting Nishrimadeva to come, and then Nishrimadeva appeared in that form. They were simply worshipping the Lord, so they were expecting something, and the Lord may appear in a different form. However, generally the Lord appears in a form which is not contrary to the devotee's desires, or to his mood. He won't appear in a different form, but the form may be unexpected.
Thank you.